You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora e te whānau, kei te whakarongo koe ki te reo irirangi pōho. You're on the BFM Breakfast Show. My name is Rachel. We're going to be having a chat to Moana Maniapoto. On the other side of this, it is Huakirangi featuring Shelley Morris by Moana and the Tribe. This is Moana and the Tribe with Huakirangi, and we've got Moana on the line. Kia ora, how are you this morning?
Oh, kia ora, ngā mihi ki a koe mo te wiki o te reo Māori. I'm great, Rachel. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's always wonderful to have a kōrero with you, especially on Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, as you just mentioned, and also because you've got a wonderful new track out in the world, which is part of your ongoing project, Ono, which we're going to be eventually hearing six whole songs, and it's been a long time in the works. Can you explain a little bit about how this came about, and what's the idea behind this record?
This particular single is one that I've collaborated with Patty Free and with Scotty Morrison, who writes the lyrics, but invited a Sami artist, Marty Boyne, to sing on it. She's iconic. She's a game changer. She was raised in a very heavily Christian home in Norway, where their joik, which is a unique art form and a musical and cultural art form that's unique to Sami people, was actually banned. So it's very shamanistic in its origins. It's quite stunning. Tonight on my current affairs show, I actually speak with her about it. But anyway, Marty went to teachers training college, and she hit on some awesome teachers who kind of told her about being Sami, and it was like this one of those boom moments.
Yeah.
That created a musician who's had global influence really in world music, and recorded with Peter Gabriel and played in amazing places. Anyway, I met her at WOMAD, and then we got together and I wrote some English lyrics for one of her albums. She's done 15.
That's an amazing career.
I know. She's a knight now. And that's after after refusing to sing at a Winter Olympics, because she didn't want to be the token Indigenous face of Norway. But anyway, she's contributed these beautiful vocals to this song, which is all about, the song is about invoking calm and peacefulness. And it's just a perfect song for these COVID times.
Yeah.
And her voice just sounds like Arctic ice, you know. It's stunning.
It is stunning. And it's one of those collaborations which feels very natural, because, as you say, you have a long friendship and you've worked with her in other capacities before. With this whole Ono project, you've worked with a lot of different vocalists from all around the world. How have you come across people? Has it been through various connections like WOMAD, where you've sort of been on the same billing, or have you been introduced by friends? How has this whole project kind of come about? Was it something you knew about before you started, or did you kind of discover it as it happened?
No, I mean, I met all these women, bar one. Well, I met them all through friends and at gigs. So Shelley Morris was part of a big project that was a New Zealand, Australian and Scottish collaboration that played at WOMAD, then at the Sydney Opera House, then in Scotland, and she was a part of that. And then Inka Mabing, Taiwanese, I met her through friends in Taiwan. I said, oh, I want to record with someone Indigenous, and they drove me up to the mountains, the trip from hell on this huckery minibus to meet this Yoda-like woman who actually is a yoga teacher as well.
Wow.
So recorded with her, and then Megan Henderson, who's Scottish, was part of the Boomerang project that Shelley was. And then I met a woman in Canada, because my mates who are Indigenous filmmakers, while I was playing up there, and I said, hey, have you got anyone who'd like to perform on stage with us and sing across ancestors? And then they pulled this woman up on stage. She opened her mouth, and honestly, the band nearly fell off the stage. She was like, just did this whole vocalization. Wow. So I recorded with her, and then Marty Boyne, my manager, Soul, he said, you've got to meet this woman. Go down to WOMAD. I wasn't playing that year. And went to meet with her, and we had a couple of wines and hit it off, and then we met in Finland and, you know, around the world, and yeah.
That's the best.
And I just think it's fascinating, because I say, well, how's your language going?
Yeah.
Now, Shelley, who I talked to tonight on my current affairs show, there's only three speakers in the world that speak her grandmother's language. Can you believe it?
That's amazing. And terrifying as well, really, to think about how a language can get there. It is, you know, something that we are hearing more in Aotearoa as a conversation, not just in Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, but we're hearing more about how revitalization or you know, supporting Te Reo Māori is important, and how can we be doing that as a country. With your art and with your music, you're doing that constantly, and you've always been doing that. For you as a musician, is that one of your ways to support your language and support your culture? Is that how you see your work in that space?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was always making a point right at the start, you know, way back with e or u and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so making a political point, and then, you know, as more people join the movement, and I was certainly just part of it, you know, there were others way before me, the pressure is off to sort of always make the point. Mm. So my point now is to explore the beauty of te reo. And then, you know, I've got to the point where I like to collaborate with other people and express that solidarity through with and using their language. So it's less political, more creative. But I suppose in a way it's always political when you're singing in Māori or Sami or Yanyuwa or Atayao, you know. Mm. Or are they a friend who was singing in Scottish? Hello, the British went over there and mucked it all up. So, you know, it's music is very, very powerful like that.
Mm.
And a couple of the things I found out, Rachel, that I discovered in this project is that for Native Canadians, that there were so many different languages that sometimes when they got together, they couldn't communicate. So they used vocables, which is this new term I discovered, where, you know, that high-pitched chanting is like channeling feelings and words.
Wow.
And that's similar to the yoik of the Sami.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still communicating, but it's on another level and another way that doesn't necessarily use words.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. Mm. Speaking of words, though, you have worked with Scotty Morrison often on your projects, and
yes,
also with Paddy Free as well, two people you have long time collaborated with. How does it feel to have these friends of yours that you can, I guess, probably bounce your ideas off with a lot of confidence that they'll get where you're coming from now?
Oh, look, I adore those two. They're my wingmen. Scotty is, you know, an outstanding advocate for te reo, and he's very, very generous with his time and his knowledge. He's been a member of my bands over the years. You know, I just say what I want to write about. He writes metaphorically. It's very poetical.
Mm-hmm.
So some people, and he's a bit like Tā Timoti Karetu in that respect, is that they don't like the literal translations. Mm-hmm. It's all about context. And Paddy Free is, you know, I just leave him loose in the studio. He just has so much fun. And then I just try and be useful, like warbling different melodies, and he'll look at me going, yeah, now try something else. And then I have another bash, and then, you know, we get to a point where we really love it and start plugging it together. I love that process. So much fun.
It does sound like a lot of fun, and it results in these gorgeous tracks. I did just want to touch on the tonality of this track, which you mentioned when we started chatting. It has got this lovely gentleness, which I think we could all do with at the moment. It is a stressful time out there, but it almost sits in the world of like a lullaby, this track. What is the song about?
It is like a lullaby. It is a calling upon, it's a tribute to a child that's sleeping, te kuru ponamu, my precious gift. Let there be calm in the world, let there be peace, let it wrap around you. So it is something that's evoking that kind of sense of, you know, being at peace.
Mm.
And let there be calm as this precious jewel sleeps cradled within this great affection. I mean, you know, hello.
It's beautiful.
So, you know, if you're in a really bad mood at the moment, or you turn off the news and just, you know, chill out to this one. It's a slow burn, and I think Māori's voice is just, she's yoiking in this, she's channeling, she's not saying words. It's part of her culture is to kind of become the feeling of peace. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. It is amazing. Mm. I think we should listen to it now, Moana. Thank you. Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. It's always an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I hope you have
a
lovely time in your bubble at the moment, and that you're doing well out there. It's a weird one, so I'm glad we've got this nice music to settle into at the same time.
Thank you, Rachel. And I'm talking to Māori tonight on my show, so
we'll be tuning in
to see her.
Excellent.
Yeah. Kia ora, Rachel. Thanks for your tautoko.
Kia ora. Thank you.
whenua. Ai o ana te ao kato. Ai o ana te moe a te kuru pounamu. I roto i te mai. Te mati here. Te Māori ori e. Ai o ana te rangi. Ai o ana te whenua.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.